you yourself have been fighting a very tough battle over the last few months. You are now, from what I gather, on recovering from cancer, and I can't even imagine how difficult it's been for you over the last few months.
Yeah, no, it has been. It's been tough, and I suppose there's an element, Marie, a bit like the COVID situation, where players really feel invincible. I think former athletes and former players like myself feel that you're a bit invincible as well, and that you don't need to go and get tested, and you don't act on signs. And that's something that I did. I didn't react to certain things that were changing in my life, and from fatigue, from passing of blood, from different things that had happened over the last year, I didn't react to them. And I think I do put that down to representing professional athletes, being a former player myself, thinking that I'm a bit invincible here. And I pawed off the warning signs and didn't react to them. And one of the learning curves from my end is that I should have been getting blood tests every year, Marie. I should have been going to the doctor when there was warning signs there, and I didn't. And unfortunately, that meant that the cancer had grown from my large intestine into my stomach. And the operation, which would have been a keyhole surgery to extract it from the large intestine, ended up being a massive operation with them having to take away 3/4 in the stomach as well as the large intestine, and a lot longer recovery than what it should have been.
So what's the timeline then, like from when you got your diagnosis to today?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed on February 1st, operated on February the 15th, and so we're about 8 months now past it. And the one side of it, Marie, from my own perspective, was the physical side of it wasn't something I was able to deal with. The physical side, it was the mental side that I really, really struggled with. I think there's a lot of people who have got cancer, and people talk about the physical scars and how people have to deal with it, but the mental scars are far more deep-rooted and far more difficult to deal with, I believe. And the amount of people after I've done a piece at the start of the weekend have been in touch to say that they were in similar position and start to look at my own things, and yet people need to talk more about the mental side of dealing with it rather than just the physical side, which tends to be what people focus on. So people ask you the questions normally, do you have pins and needles in your hands or your feet, or and how is the wound, is it recovering, and this, that, and how are you eating? But the real problems I had was in my head. Mentally, I couldn't deal with what had happened, and I couldn't deal with day-to-day stuff. I just couldn't deal with it. And I was just very lucky to have good infrastructure around me, my friends and family, that to get through that. But it needed a huge amount of work from. I got some help from Mark, who's the group that's involved with the Mater Hospital, to talk about my mental health. And that's something that I'd never struggled with. I always felt I was mentally very, very strong. But this disease really opened me up to understanding better how some of my own members suffer with mental health. And maybe, as I said, the players have contacted me, and I used to look at them and go, how has he got mental health? He's just the top of the league. He's a top young player in the country. He's got very lots of money. How can he be dealing with an issue with mental health? Until I found myself in that position. And I really, really struggled with that. I couldn't move out. I didn't move out of the house for 2 months. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I didn't want anybody to see me. I'd lost 25 pounds of weight. I looked like a skeleton. I just didn't want to see anybody. I was living from sleeping tablet to sleeping tablet. All I wanted to do was sleep and just get through each day and just hope that it would get better. And I was lucky, as I said, I had friends that I had through football who called up to the house and just refused to leave the garden and leave the house until I came out and spoke to them. And they gave me that little bit of a leg up and said, look, you don't look too bad. You'll be fine. Like, just keep talking. And that's one thing that we don't do. And I look at my own wife and other people I know who on the first sign of anything are straight into the doctors and get checked and get regular blood tests and friends of mine who would do it. But just from my end, and I know a lot of players I played with and I've spoken to a lot of them over the last couple of days who now are going to get blood tests on the back of what happened to me, which is a positive, and there's obviously the negative on what I went through. But if that can help one, two people, well then that's great. And it's one thing that when I go around the dressing rooms and we speak to the players, it's to ensure that they do act on anything medically that they see, and any change in their body or any change in how they deal with stuff during the day, they need to make sure that they get checked. And that's something that hopefully is a positive that comes out of my situation.
It sounds like you learned more about yourself in those 8 months than you did maybe in your whole professional football career.
I 100% did, and I do think, as I said already, I do think there's this thing about professional athletes or people who play elite sport that you are invincible, that you just can't be, you know, there's no way I can be sick. I've played at this elite level. There's no way that this can happen to me. And then on the mental side of it, you're thinking, well, I got through all the stuff that I got through with the FAI. I got through all the stuff that I got through in my working day and through my playing career. nothing's gonna affect me. And then suddenly you realise, you look and you go, oh my God, I am now, okay, like the stuff I dealt with, I had no clothes that would fit. So I went down to Dunstars, I bought 3 tracksuits in the medium, and lived in them for 2 months. They're only little things, but I just could not face going outside the door and seeing anybody seeing me in the condition I was in, because when you're at that, you play at a certain level or whatever level of sport that you compete at, there's a perception of what people's perception of you is and what your perception of yourself is. And that's what we had to break down, that I'm not the same person that I was. I'm different. And I need to make sure that I look after myself in my head and my body, that I've changed. I'm not the footballer I was before. I'm not that. I'm vulnerable like everybody else is vulnerable to these diseases. And I need to get help. And as I said, without my wife pushing me to get the blood test, I don't know whether I would have got through, because any bit longer, it would have been gone right up through me and probably too far. Like the stage 3 was the stage 3 cancer I had. But if I had gone another 8 or 9 months, God knows where you would have been. So there's, as I said, you have a huge lesson to learn, and I've learned a lot about myself in the last 8 or 9 months, and I'm definitely stronger for it. I'm definitely, from my mind's point of view, again, I'm on antidepressant tablets at the moment, the sleeping tablets and other bits and pieces to help me and assist me along the way. But I'm definitely stronger for it, and as I said, if what I've gone through and what I've spoken out about, I hope that helps other people in the same situation. And time is a healer in this stuff as well. Time is a healer, and you just have to try and get through, but you have to seek help, and you have to. The one thing I did was close myself away. That was the biggest mistake I made. I should have been out meeting people, talking to people through what I was going through. But again, like a lot of males and particularly sports people, you lock yourself away if you don't people see you.
We talk so often about trying to remove the stigma that's around mental health, and it's a really hard thing to do. But yet when somebody like you, Stephen, comes on the radio with me and just very casually almost mentions the fact that you're on antidepressants and sleeping tablets, that goes a long way to normalising dealing with mental health in a medical and professional way.
Yeah, and it's, from my end, again, when I went into the hospital, Marie, I had no doctor. I haven't been to a doctor in 20 years. I've never taken a headache tablet in 20 years. I don't take anything. I've never taken a tablet in my life. And I've gone from that now to having to be taking stomach tablets, to be taking antidepressants, to be taking sleeping tablets, which I'd never done before. But I need them. And I have to deal with the fact that I can't sleep at night without the sleeping tablet. And I was living, as I said, from sleeping tablet to sleeping tablet. And I was living for the hoping that the nights were going to get dark, or hoping that it was going to rain, because I wanted no sunlight coming in. I wanted it to be dark. And these are the types of situations you find yourself in. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to do anything. I couldn't pick up the phone. As I said, I was very lucky to have good friends who some have gone through mental health issues. Alan Moore was one who drove. He was former Irish international, played for Wigan, or sorry, working for Wigan now as a scout. And he drove over and stood in the garden and said, I'm coming out. Well, I'm not going until you come out with you. And demanded me to start talking about it. And that was a big turning point at the time, because that was the first people that I'd seen outside of my family. So that was a huge. And he knew what it had been like. He knew how difficult, from a mental health perspective, how difficult that is to do, but you need to do it. And it was a huge moment. And them talking to me, saying, look, you don't look too bad. You know, okay, yeah, you put the weight back on. Don't be worried. You get your diet back. You get your food intake back, it'll be fine. But and then you're talking about stuff that we've done when we were kids, and whether he was going to Manchester United on trials and played for Middlesbrough, and we were talking about his career and my one. And then that suddenly makes you feel a little bit better. You go back inside a little bit of a pep more in your step, and you're going, oh, yeah, so tomorrow then we'll do a little bit more and you know, go meet the lads again and go for a walk. And then I just found myself coming out with things then. But again, I'm not underestimating what everybody else is going through. Anybody who has the disease will tell you that the mental side of it is as much, if not worse, than the physical side of it.
It sounds like you had to get to know yourself all over again, that you didn't recognise the person that you had become because of the illness.
Yeah, I suppose when I looked in the mirror, I saw somebody looking back at me going, who is that? Like, I didn't recognise myself. I didn't like myself being vulnerable. I wasn't used to being vulnerable. I was used to always being okay. My kids see their dad as somebody who played football, who represents professional footballers, who was always up and gone and out in his car and dropping the kids to training, or taking coach my son's team, taking training, all this. And then suddenly the dad's lying there and he can't move it. And that, even from my own point of view, for somebody who's been active for their whole life, to suddenly find yourself bedridden and suddenly look in the mirror and go, who is that bloke? That's not me. Look, I'm 6'2", 15 stone. I'm not 11 stone, 11 pounds, crunched over and can't move it. That's not me. And that took me a long time, a good few months, to get my head around that. And the digestion, I tried to eat, was a problem, because like, the signals from my stomach to my brain weren't functioning because my stomach had been removed. So that took a huge amount of time for that to come back. And I had to train myself to eat again. I had to train myself. I had to put an app on the phone that would alert me every hour to eat something. It was gone days without eating because there was no signal coming. And when I got that back in and started to start putting a few pounds, my confidence started to grow a little bit more. And then with friends around me who are telling me, look, you're getting better. Just keep going. We'll keep talking. We'll keep coming up to the house. And that was just so important. And there's some great people, the likes of people at Shamrock Rovers, and particularly Bohemians as well, who were hugely helpful to me in the recovery and had been up to the house and had helped me out in so many ways. I can't thank them enough. I'm just very lucky to be involved in the sport where people actually care about each other. And the battles I've had with people at clubs and at the FAI, but when it came down to it, so many people that had been in touch to help, I just can't thank them enough. And that's something that that's why we're involved in sport, that it's not all about, you know, when you're being successful, but when you're down, it was great to see people there to help you. And I can't thank people enough, and especially people who've been in touch the last couple of days.
Yeah, we always talk as well about just how enjoyable it is to go out and play sport and to watch it. But the real value of sport, I think, is when times get tough and you need people to rally around you to help you. It's that sporting community that more often than not are the ones that step up.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. And I suppose I underestimated probably how many people were there, because I suppose I played and I'm in an administrative role here now, so I would be dealing with all the clubs at the majority of times, and you get to know a huge amount of people, and it was probably a real eye-opener to me about how many people cared. I kept it to myself for so long, and what happened, Marie, was I was starting to go to games and I was getting awkward then, because I was meeting people like Ollie Horgan or Martin Hussler, other guys, and chatting away to them, and then they'd hear laughs that I wasn't well, and said, you never told me. So I just decided the weekend it's time to put it out there. I'd also got a feeling from a few individual people that he wouldn't mind me coming out and talking about it to help others, and I just felt that it was at that time the right thing to do. And I said, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to work. I've been back to work the last couple of weeks, and I was over with Jack Bourne in Cyprus a couple of weeks ago, and from FIFA, so the World Players Union were heavily involved and that sort of thing. So I'm just delighted to be back working, and delighted that hopefully now over the next couple of weeks and months when I'm around the clubs that we can ensure that from a mental health perspective that we're ensuring that we're helping our own members, current and past, and our awards are not coming up. One of the sponsors in the night will be Heading Down, which is a group who look after mental health. That's something that I'm working with at the moment. So we look forward to working with everybody over the next couple of weeks and months, and hopefully, as I said, from my own perspective, that I can get back to working and get back to some type of normality.
Well, it's great to hear you sounding so well, and we're getting a super reaction to your interview as well. So many people wishing you the best in your recovery, and I think here on the show we would all echo those views as well. Stephen McGuinness, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck with the recovery.